game changer passage for me, though there are a few that I could share, I wanted to share with you is from Hebrews chapter 12. It picks it up, kind of a quote from the Old Testament. It says in verse 5, "You have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." So I think about this passage and this concept of being, number one, understanding God as Father. That's really the groundwork, the foundation. This passage itself is really built upon this first premise of understanding that God makes himself known to us, invites us into relationship. Of all the different ways we see in Scripture, he is a king who has subjects. He is a Lord who has servants. He is Almighty Creator who has created beings. All these are also true ways that God calls us into relationship, but this father to child relationship is so powerful. I actually need to read a passage to set that up, to tell you why this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 is so significant to me. It's here in Romans chapter 8, and it says this, beginning in verse 15. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship or adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." So when I understand that the Creator of the universe invites me to know him as his child, even uses that concept of being adopted into his family, man, I'll tell you, that is so significant to me, so meaningful, that this God of grandeur, this God of incredible power, this God of great holiness could look upon me, a broken, fallen human being, and yet desire relationship with me enough to not just like accept me or not just even include me, but call me his son. That's just mind-bending to me, and that's been so significant over my life. But that being the foundation, then this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, though, it leans into that. It's working from that concept of knowing God as Father, but explains a little bit more about the parent-child, the father-son or daughter relationship. And I think for me, I had just enjoyed the richness of being able to call upon God. What does the Romans 8 passage say? Even as Abba, this most basic word for Papa or Dada, and being able to have that intimacy with my Heavenly Father as his son, just was enamored with that, so significant to me and so grateful for it. But what I had overlooked, maybe on purpose, maybe with just ignoring it, but this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 goes on to say that because God is a good father, God is also a disciplining father. God is also a corrective father, because that's what good dads do. And that means so much. A little bit later in this same passage in Hebrews 12, picking it up at verse 10, "Our fathers, our human fathers, disciplined us for a while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good," watch, "that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And that's, I think, what has been a game changer for me. And this is very recent. This would be in the last 6-7 months, where I have come to understand that in order for God to be the good, good father that he is, it is necessary that he brings correction. it is necessary that he builds in discipline in my life so that, though it seems painful at the time, it would be a harvest. It would produce a harvest of righteousness later on in me. And that's made all the difference. So my life was powerfully shaped by understanding God as Father. We'll get into the realities of Hebrews 12, that aspect of God's fatherhood, in a minute. I grew up in a Christian home, and I can't remember not being in church environments. Had parents who reinforced truth of God's word and loved me in a way that God would prescribe them as parents to do. In my shaping of my understanding of God, though no one ever sat me down and said, God is like, they probably did, but what I was forming that to be, but the most prominent kind of caricature I would have developed about who is God is more like a judge, right? I had a very keen awareness that God sees all, God knows all, and therefore, as even a young man, recognizing I definitely did not live God's way much of the time, that means that God saw all my sin. God saw and knew of all of even my innermost thoughts, not even the things I did, but the things I thought about. And I realized, man, God's going to get me. And so I thought primarily of God as a judge behind a big desk with a big gavel and just guilty, you know, as the ongoing understanding of, and he would be right. That was not an untrue thing. The untrue part, though, was my understanding or the caricature I had developed, because what I love, it says in Romans chapter 3 that though God is the one who will judge justly, he's also the provider of atonement and reconciliation. And he, though not ever wavering in his justice, he meets that justice not with my death, not with wrath poured out on me, but wrath poured out on his son, with Jesus dying at the cross. And so I missed that part, even though I knew the gospel, I missed that part of the equation and just felt the constant just scowl, I guess you'd say, of a judge who saw everything I did. God would use circumstances and relationships, even a strained relationship with my own dad, kind of throughout my teenage years and into being a young adult. And it was sometime in that season, probably while I was a college student, that God just began to help change and shape my understanding of him. And this understanding of him as my heavenly Father, man, that just broke through. That was so significant to understand that this judge actually had a son, loved me so much, he'd sacrifice his own son in my place with the goal that I could be adopted into his family. And so the fatherhood of God began to shape my understanding again. It's not the only image, the only way that God relates to us, but it would quickly become my favorite and the most prominent way I would see God. And in that, I would so appreciate and be grateful for the idea of being able to have an intimacy with my Heavenly Father, of being seen and loved as is and not for what I could perform and be, of understanding that God accepts me as is, right where I am. It doesn't mean he approves of what I do, but I never have to wonder if I'm loved less because of a God who loves me primarily based on my performance, because I would learn that that's never what a parent's love is based on. It's always based on the innate relationship of you are mine. Now, by the way, that would go to a whole new level as Joanna and I would begin having kids. And I remember that first moment of being able to hold Jackson in my arms and processing in real time, oh, God, the understanding of what it means for you to love me as a father loves his child, that's being shaped now in real time as I'm now a new dad and understanding my deep love for my son that, again, has nothing to do with something he's doing to earn it, something he's doing to prove it. It's all about this innate love I simply have that he is mine. And so being a dad would deeply shape this understanding all the more. And that was really what the premise was. And living in that now, Jackson's 27 years old. So in that season of just continuing to understand and refine, this is what it means to be loved by a Heavenly Father. And I'm so grateful for whose I am. I'm so grateful for the way he moves towards me, again, even when I fail him, and doesn't love me anymore when I live in a way that's obedient. He just simply loves me. Now, I would take into account those aspects of the character of God, especially as Father, but it was this aspect of his discipline and correction in my life that just somehow got ignored. So then this aspect of God's discipline and correction found in many places in Scripture, but especially in Hebrews 12, the occasion that created that like epiphany was, according to what this chapter says that I've read already, is that God, I use this phrase often, it's not meant to be crass or even just silly, but God's taken me out to the shed a few times in my life. And I've seen his correction in my life, and I think the big overriding factor, I don't think I notice the value on the backside. Remember what I just read. No discipline, this is chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 11. No discipline, let me find my place, seems pleasant at the time, but painful, rightly so. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So I remember a season in my life, this would have been not long after Jackson was born. He was still a little guy. And I was having this really amazing opportunity to speak at a camp that I had kind of just daydreamed about. Like, would I ever get that opportunity? And I remember what was going on in my life up until that time was God was teaching me so much about ministry. I was a youth pastor and just had been in that role for a few years. And there was just a season of watching the way that other people were loving people that maybe God had not broken my heart in the same way. I even getting that opportunity to speak at that camp, remember just having at the very front edge just some very disappointing parts of it. For instance, I was introduced as Steve Arnett by a guy who didn't even know me. And I just remember walking up and in my mind, I had created this moment of what will that be like to finally get to speak at this camp and just walking up and going, and by the way, it's Todd, being so humiliated and realizing in that season, I felt like in that real time, I was out in the shed. God was humbling me. He was teaching me some correction needed and also some discipline. And let me even phrase, I don't think all discipline is necessarily because you've done something wrong. That's the word correction in the way that I'm using these words. And I think that's the way that Hebrews uses it. Even earlier, it says that God, that Jesus was made perfect through obedience due to suffering. So there was something that was being completed in him that wasn't correcting. He was sinless. But there was a shaping in his life that came through the discipline of God. And that's what I think is in chapter 12 as well. It's not always correction for doing wrong. It's sometimes I'm preparing you for what you don't even know you need. So I had that season and I remember thinking clearly, I feel like God is correcting and disciplining me. But I will honestly say I didn't really ever see the fruit, the harvest of righteousness. I just felt like I was kind of being corrected and disciplined, and it was painful, but I didn't see the value of it. So Hebrews 12 didn't make a lot of sense then. the season that I've shared with you at High Desert Church that I endured kind of in the pandemic at the church I was leading down the hill brought lots of occasion to be out in the shed, a much deeper, much more personal, much more difficult, and a barrage of different occasions and situations. In that, I definitely felt, again, out in the shed. And at times when you're in the shed, it questions, have I done something wrong? Like, am I being corrected? Is this kind of punishment? And other times going, I don't know that this is that. And I just feel beat up. I feel this discipline that is just hard, hard to bear. And one of the things, being very transparent, that I remember in that time, I remember, so link back to my first kind of time out in the shed, it was connected to speaking at a camp and what a big deal I had made that in my mind. I remember, this was years later, I couldn't even put a number, 20 years later. I remember, though the issues had nothing to do with me as a speaker, per se, or even a teacher, preacher, I remember processing and saying to myself, you know what? I don't care if I ever get asked to speak anywhere again. I just want to survive this. And I just want to learn to be a better leader and pastor. And the wild thing is, the things I was facing had little to do, that nothing really, they were like disconnected from that statement. And I would realize over the course of the next few months, I would actually say that statement to people, number one, who weren't asking, and number two, who would look at me like, and I think their thought was, they didn't say it, but the thought was, what does that have to do with anything? And I don't know why, it kept being very prevalent in my mind. I don't care if I ever speak anywhere again. I just want to, and I would even learn in this season back to the value of discipline. I want this to teach me whatever God needs me to grow in. This second round, God, don't let me out until you do what you need to do. That was a very hard prayer to pray, and it was definitely not the way I saw it the first round years before. But I knew, God, you're very purposeful in pain. Don't let me out of the shed until you do everything you need to do whatever you're doing in my life. Well, things would change. I would actually be called to come to High Desert Church, and I was so excited about that opportunity. Still am, 2 years in. And I would be in that role, still processing, right, a lot of what was that season for? What did I learn? What am I growing in? Some things obvious, but still this statement of, and I would say, by the way, where it all links back to is I got an inordinate amount of just kind of self-esteem, an ungodly kind of self-esteem, when I would be asked to speak at other places. Now, interestingly enough, in my normal ministry roles, whatever they were as a youth pastor, when I came to HDC 1.0 as a family pastor, preaching regular weekend, I didn't get that same thing from that, but it was when I was asked to go speak somewhere else, I would get this elation that was so not godly and very full of self. And I would say, coming out of that season, the second round in the shed, I didn't have that. I wasn't looking for it. And I even was asked at one point to speak at something. And I was very willing to say no. They pressed and said, I really think you should. Okay, I will. And I didn't have any of that extra baggage that came with it. That's now been 4 years. I still don't. But back to the story, I was here at HDC. We were piloting a rooted group, and it was in January of 23. And we did the prayer experience, and my group was split up all over Point Discovery, and I had a room to myself. And I had used the wonderful rooted prayer guide kind of experience thing before and loved it. But this time I just was just going to be quiet before the Lord and just say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Wow. He had a lot to say. And in that quiet hour alone with the Lord, this was one of the big things that God just revealed, is that, Todd, you've had an inordinate sense of pride that has been attached to when you've been invited to speak at things that give you a sense of esteem. That's not, that needs to be corrected. And I have given you all kinds of opportunities to see that. And by the way, I didn't go around talking about that. It's very vulnerable to share that with you now. My family, I never talked to them about it. Close ministry friends, never talked to them. But I knew that was going on in my heart. And what I would realize in that prayer experience hour was God had been in that season, among other things. There was a lot of things being addressed, but that was one of the things that God was really rooting out. That's why I would say things like, I don't care if I ever get invited to speak anywhere again. I meant it. And it was oddly, though it was very disconnected, it was super connected to what God was rooting out in my heart. No Bible study, no mentorship, no sermon series could have ever got to that issue, like the challenges that I faced coming through and on the other side of the pandemic, leading a church. That season in the shed, among other things, was rooting, bringing that to the surface and rooting it out of my heart. So here's the point. I would say now with great confidence, I know the truth of these words, not theoretically, and not just the biblical understanding of them experientially. I know what it is to not just experience the correction of God, the discipline of God, but to thank Him for it. And to see a harvest of righteousness that He's produced as a result of it. And by the way, it isn't just a harvest of righteousness, but it's also peace. I have an amazing peace now because I don't find gratification. I don't find this great sense of sinful sense of self when I get asked to speak somewhere now. And I may or may not do it, and it's not riddled with, what's this going to do for me? Instead, if I end up doing it, it is based on, God, how could you use me to be your mouthpiece to this particular group of people who need to hear from you? And it's a pretty pure thing where it was super convoluted before. So it's been a game changer for me to understand a good God, a good father, disciplines his kids. And I'm so grateful for that correction in my life.